Are listening to WBFYLP 100.9 FM, Belfast, Maine.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from Our Town Belfast, a community-driven and nationally accredited Main Street organization whose mission is to grow and sustain our historic downtown while celebrating our unique cultural heritage. Learn more and visit the calendar of events at ourtownbelfast.org.
And thank you for tuning in to your community radio station. My name is Vic Treadwell. I'm here with the mayor of Belfast. That's Eric Sanders. And we're here to talk about the situation, the virus, the things that are going on, and to take your calls in a few minutes at 338-2277. Hello, Eric.
How are you, Vic?
I am very well.
Good. I think the first show was last week, and we were like, why don't we do this once a week until we get through it together?
And for the duration, they say.
I'm good with that. It gives people a chance to hear about things on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. And things are very fluid and continue to be. But I'm happy to be here and answer any questions that we can and go from there.
Yep, very good. This is going to be a weekly thing for the duration, and we're going to be replaying this tomorrow at noon as a regular thing, Saturdays at noon.
For example, you asked me via email a couple hours ago or yesterday about getting somebody from the hospital to call in, and so I was able to reach out just within the last hour, and they have a media consultant and all. As you know, it's a big hospital and with Penn Bay combined, but they're going to indicated they would like to be potentially on the show next Friday.
Yep.
And they would call in and be able to give us an update, and I think that's great because I think all of us are very protective of the hospital and the people that work there, and we want to make sure we understand in the big scheme of things that hospitals can't tell you a lot. But we also know we want to make sure they're okay, and having some form of communication from Waldo County General Hospital or one of its media representatives would be a good thing. So this is what we're doing, right?
Yep, and I've asked some other people to call in.
Yeah.
I believe we're going to hear from the Belfast Creative Coalition what the arts groups are doing. I know a number of groups have started to do online things of various kinds, including the Belfast Bay Fiddlers. They're going to try and hold their Sunday evening jam session over the internet. We'll see how that goes with delays and whatnot. Maybe a Sunday evening cacophony, but at least they're making the attempt.
I think intentions are everything right now. Good intentions.
And, sure.
And I've yet to meet anybody in Waldo County or Belfast that has any bad intentions. So I think people are trying to wrap their arms around a situation, as you called it, that's going to be probably more than a month in length, where you are asked to stay at home, stay healthy at home, per the governor's request the other day. And, you know, the city of Belfast is learning how to Zoom, and we had two meetings. One, we had a workshop on Monday. We had a special council meeting on Wednesday.
Yep.
And you were part of that.
Yeah, we broadcast that live, and we're going to continue to do those, though I think the regular council meetings are going to be Tuesdays.
Yeah, Tuesdays. We have currently set up first and third Tuesdays, 7 o'clock, as usual. And if we need to have special meetings or weekly, there's been some talk that, you know, we might have. But we're going to find out Tuesday night what a regular heavy agenda looks like on Zoom, because it's be the first time for that. And if it's 8 hours, then we'll probably make some adjustments, right? We're just all people.
Sure. And but we are planning to for the duration preempt our regular shows anytime there's a city council or a planning committee meeting held over Zoom, because it's very easiest for us to just divert the sound of that onto the air.
Well, and we appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you. Another thing I wanted to bring up, we've been hearing on the radio people talking about should they or should they not start wearing masks. And
hit me with the big questions first.
I got the bandana around my face here, see, and it sounded a little more muffled when I put it up. I feel like the outlaw on one of my cowboy and western swing songs that I like to play. So at that, at this point, that's sort of an optional.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, it's optional. I tell you what I know and what I don't know. Mm-hmm. I went to, as everybody knows by now, Wentworth's gas station is where I get my coffee every day.
Yeah.
And so I just came back from Waterville because I went to pick up bread for my wife for her shop. And I pulled in to get her gas, and I saw three what I would call regular Joes walking in, and they all had different varieties of masks on. I don't think people are going to wait for President Trump to tell them whether or not to wear masks, and I think that I'm already seeing it out and about at Waldo County. I went to Walgreens yesterday morning. And some people were wearing masks, some people were wearing gloves. And what we do know about masks, if you listen, is it Dr. Fauci? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Is that it? The impression I'm getting is it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I made my weekly trip to the big grocery store, and a lot more people were wearing masks this week than last, and so that's happening.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for direction from the city, I don't know that we'll give it. Certainly not on the agenda for Tuesday night, but I would say common sense is already being displayed in the public, and some people are choosing to wear masks. I said on Ned Leitner interviewed me yesterday, and I said that you know, a month ago, if you wore a mask around town, people would probably think you were a little, neurotic was, you know.
Just ahead of the curve.
Or ahead of the flattening curve.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it keeps, because Dr. Fauci said that yesterday afternoon on TV that they think now that the virus, you know, besides the socially, the 6 feet apart rule, part of that is because they're not convinced that it can't be spread by breathing or talking. So 6 feet apart, and if you want to wear a mask, nobody's going to judge you.
Yep.
And, you know, Robert Kraft yesterday, I woke up, and Erin Herbig will like this because she's a huge Patriots fan, our city manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Chiefs fan, but Bob Kraft paid for half a plane load of N95 masks from China, and they went through all the visas and stuff. They took the Patriots plane over. They got everything cleared. They were on the ground 2 hours and 57 minutes, and they brought back, they're either on their way or they're back now, 1.2 million plus masks for the state of Massachusetts and New England. And Robert Kraft said 300,000 of those he thought should go to the New York area.
Bravo. So,
well, said he went to Columbia, and, you know, he's always had a soft spot, probably because, you know, the Jets play in the same division, but, and that's, but no, I'm to be serious, it was, what a gift.
Sure.
What a gift. So, I'm now a Patriots fan because of that. There
Excellent.
You go. So, people are starting to step up, mm-hmm. right? I think that people are looking at our local government. We have had a fairly large following of the council meetings on live TV and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so now that we're Zooming, I think people are looking for some normalcy, some things that they used to have that right now everybody's telling you what you can't do. And I think people are just looking for the few things they can still do to remember what normal was like. And I think that's important. And I think that's why I'm on the air today, just to talk to people and say everything is, it's a process, but it's going to be, at the end of this, even though we have unknowns in front of us, it's going to be okay.
Yep. So if you'd like to join the conversation, the number here at the studio is 338-2277. I'm Vic Treadwell, manager of the station, and I'm here with Eric Sanders,
the mayor of Taos.
the mayor of Nanki Poo.
So, but the council's the council has a regular agenda. I think Aaron is going to get it out to us or to the public, however that works. Usually it's around 5 o'clock today, so we're going to have a regularly scheduled council meeting Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and it'll be aired, I think it's aired live on TV, radio, mm-hmm. and and whatnot, streaming online, but Zoom is a new experience for many of us. I asked, because I got three kids and a dog and my wife and my computer's in the middle of the house, if I could not come down to the city hall to be at the Zoom meeting, and they said okay to that. But all the other counselors are Zooming in from home, so it gives you a unique opportunity to look into the windows of people's homes. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and I was here at the studio handling the radio end of that, and I got one little pro tip is that when people are in those meetings, they should probably mute their microphones until it's time for them to actually jump in and talk, because the focus of the program was jumping around just when anybody shuffled papers on their desk or whatever. Yeah. That's what I was doing, just keeping my mic muted. And it's just a little button on the screen.
Well, that's a good point. And I think that was brought up because what we're looking at on Zoom, it's sort of like Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
So you got everybody on your computer screen in these little boxes, and I kept wanting to go to Paul Lynde for the joke.
Yeah.
But what we're looking at and what ultimately gets broadcast out live, to your point, is whoever makes the noise.
Yeah.
So we're learning as we go.
Yep.
So it's interesting. I did hear, I'm not going to name the person by name, but I have no doubt that this is true. A person that lives in East Belfast was at Jack's Groceries the other night, and I guess the hospital has been ordering food for its people or whatever, or putting in large orders.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the dollar amount is or anything. God bless Jack's Groceries for doing it. But they're making sandwiches and chips and sodas and stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe platters. I don't know. Probably not platters. Probably individually wrapped at this point. But that the citizen who was in the store at the time just up and paid for it.
Huh.
So I think people, now that they're isolated, they're looking for ways to help and ways to connect. And whether it's radio or TV or, 6 feet apart, they want to help. And we know that the hospital's in good shape. From what we know, there's only been three reported cases of coronavirus in Waldo County, and one of those is fully recovered.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know one of those was a nurse. It was in the papers. But we don't have any more information because of privacy reasons. But I think a lot of people are rooting for the hospital.
Sure.
And I think that, that makes me so proud to live in a town like that, right? And so, that's why hopefully they call us next week. And, we sat on two cases in Waldo County for a full week, and now one has recovered, and I guess we got another one today. But the stuff is going to spread slowly, and the more we social distance, I guess they say it's not, it's called physical distance, because they don't want to use the word social distance, because they don't want people to socially become introverted. It's physical distance.
Right.
So, but I think I was listening to Dr. Shea, the guy at the Maine CDC, talking on the radio on the way into Waterville, and he said that he thought, that they were acutely aware that with all of this isolation that we've sort of mandated from the governor, there's going to be some people with mental health needs, and that the state is prepared for that and people to talk to. Because when you ask people not to hang out together, it can affect people one way or the other. And sometimes it's not a positive, and some people may need some help on that end.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on, my friend.
Yeah. I heard another good idea, which is that when you do have to interact with public machines like ATMs and whatever, to get in the habit of using your knuckles to push the buttons instead of your fingers, because your fingers are the ones that are going to, yes, you're going to be hand sanitizing and whatever, but it's one more thing to do, open doors with your elbows when they've got those kinds of handles, press buttons with, not with your main grabbing surfaces, but with your knuckles when you can, things of that kind.
Yeah, if people aren't thinking about that, they should. Again, up at Wentworth's, and I'm sure it's everywhere, or at every gas station, but it sure is there. They've got Purell wipes when you enter. They've got Purell on the left and right. They've got the 6-foot tape rules. Mm-hmm. They've got gloves out at the gas tanks, mm-hmm. so you can put on a pair of latex gloves before you touch the nozzle
yep.
to fill your car with gas.
Mm-hmm.
And they also wipe down everything.
Yep.
And every business in town is doing this and taking steps. Walgreens, I went in to get shampoo, and the lady's like, I walked in, and she's like, you need to get a cart? That's how we're keeping count of people. I think there were 3 people in the store, but I didn't want to,
yeah.
you know, disagree with her. And then she gave me a pair of gloves. She asked if I wanted a pair of gloves. I'm like, sure. And they spritzed down everything. And so from the governor's orders, things have changed from a safety or awareness point of view, I feel, in Belfast, massively in a couple of days in a good way to mm-hmm. help stop the spread and break the chain. And that's what they keep talking about. And hopefully that's what happens in Waldo County. Hopefully.
Yep. So
nobody's going to call in, man.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. I thought we'd set up a few, but we'll see. The number here is 338-2277 if you'd like to talk to the mayor of Belfast. Ask any questions. Got any suggestions? Also, if you know of online activities for kids or for other people people can use to fight cabin fever.
Yeah, right. The YMCA, I got that. Social media has been good to me with mm-hmm. all the information. Now, there's some scattered noise that you probably isn't trustworthy and personal. I tell people there's 3 cases of coronavirus in Waldo County and 27,000 people that are that don't have it, that have nothing to do. But so social media is the receptacle for a lot of people's opinions, and you know, it's a good thing. But in reality, you're looking at the YMCA is closed now through May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
The schools are closed through May 4th. Got a survey today from the schools on how do you think the online teaching stuff's going. And so people are trying to get feedback and make adjustments and fight that cabin fever.
Yeah. And I was suggesting to someone earlier, all of you musicians out there, this is the time to work up that Family Band Act.
Yeah. Also, I got an email from, I haven't heard from the mask. I'm heavily involved with both the Maskers and the Midcoast Actor Studio, and got an email last night from Midcoast, MAS, mm-hmm. saying that they are still planning on their production of Matilda, the musical, in August, mm-hmm. but that they're going to do all of their auditions via video. So the email was sent out to tell people that we're going to audition to do something on a video and then send it to them, and they would figure that out. But the unique thing about the arts is you discover quickly how hands-on it is and how important interaction is.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's been some attempts at you know, little scenes and plays and putting them on social media, but you quickly realize how much you miss a live audience.
Sure.
So I think that on the rebound side of this, and who knows when the hell that is, but let's throw out August, I mean, or, you know, July, August, September.
Mm-hmm.
But when people, when cases have gone down nationwide and steps have been made, and we're not listening to the main CDC on a daily basis at 11:30 for a daily count, looking how many people from Waldo County may have gotten ill overnight. On the other side of things, when the businesses, I don't want to use the word all clear, because there's already been talk of in Asia and other places when they gave the all clear, it comes back, the virus, with travel restrictions and stuff. But when we get back on our feet individually and can go outside and be together, I suspect you're going to have more activities than you can shake a stick at from any and all groups in this city that rely on audiences, and I think and businesses as well. But Our Town Belfast, whoever does the Early Cabin Fever, the 6 a.m. stores, you know, people are going to be busting at the hook to get outside together. Oh, we got a call.
We got a call. Let me flip the switches here and see if I can get all this on going for you.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hello. This is WBFY, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, thank you, Eric. This is Petra.
I thought it was. How you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. Knock on wood. Appreciate you're doing this show, and look forward to other council members and whoever being on the show as well, whenever. It was really great last night to hear the special broadcast. Was it last night? The night before. The special council meeting. And I know we've been talking about the transfer station having changed their procedures right now. So those of us who, for decades, have been recycling and dutifully putting things aside, some of us may run out of room. But I'm wondering a couple of things. One is, what do we do with stuff that we could throw in the trash now? I mean, does it go to a landfill, or does it become something that becomes like energy, you know, fuel to energy or something like that? Should I feel less guilty about putting junk mail into the trash?
Okay, well, thanks for breaking it down to something that I can understand, because, you know, that's hard to do. But I think if I read the memo correctly, the transfer station is telling people at this time to mix recycled in with your regular trash. If you do have a garage with space, if you do have the wherewithal to store stuff, certainly that is okay. They just are not taking it at this time. So it's really a either or proposition. You can either hold on to your bottles, hold on to your junk mail, hold on to your metal and glass, and store it. Or you can mix it in with your regular household garbage, which they are still taking, and they're taking cardboard.
Well, I remember there was something about that they were going to be taking it to, I don't know if it was Orrington or wherever, there was some deal that the city was, they were looking to change whoever took it.
We made the change to go, I'm going to say Perk was but the new join up in Hamden, recyclable place that a lot of the cities and towns have signed up to. We signed up to that as well. But the direction right now in the transfer station from the city's point of view is to, if you want to put your recycles in as garbage, that's what they want you to do right now. And it may be a month, it may be 2 weeks, but we're closed now through April 30th. In terms of the way we used to be. Coming out on the other side, Petra, we may be able to in May to say it's okay now, but a lot of that depends on worker safety.
Right, right. And also, of course, then those of us who do have some space to put the stuff aside, it'll be a whole glut of that.
But I was out there talking to Mike yesterday, Mike McFadden, and because I said to him, so is... how busy, how slow? And he said that it was as busy as ever last weekend. And in terms of people coming out and putting trash out and cardboard, he said it was as busy or busier. Now, he's only been there for a short while, granted, but there didn't seem to be on the weekends less business, almost more.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that They've got a new system out there, at least last time I was there. They want you to just drive up, throw your stuff in the dumpster, and put some money in a bucket rather than dealing with them at their cash register.
Well, yeah, there's no more cash register, and actually it's an old ballot box now.
But it's an honor system type of
thing. It is honor system, and we went from $3.50 a bag to $3 because then people wouldn't have to be putting their hands on change.
Yeah.
I will also tell you that Mike said it took up to 45 minutes to hand count all the money last week because of all the singles, because people have caught on that it's $3 and they bring $3 and that they got to do a lot of counting for the, they put the money in the cash envelope, whatever you want to call it, to take to the...
Well, what if we have stickers that we bought from before, even if they cost a little bit more? Can't we still use those to stick on our garbage and
throw it in? I would imagine.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any direction that you can't.
Hmm.
I will find that out for you. That's a heck of a good question. But I can't imagine that you couldn't do that. Mm. The whole point is to keep you operating as a person who takes their trash. You bring up a good point, though, because I saw on... Facebook this morning, and of course the city took its general, the blue trash can, the wooden boxes around town that have trash cans inside. We took a majority of those away because people were throwing their household garbage into those instead of going to the transfer station. And we couldn't figure out whether it was just people being ornery or people thinking the transfer station is closed, which it's not, or people afraid to go to the transfer station, which they shouldn't be. But we made a decision because we have, we have city workers empty those, and the reports, I think it was last Friday that we pulled them. The reports that we suddenly got back were people were throwing all of their household garbage into our, what I would call, corner trash cans.
Hmm.
And that ain't cool.
Yep.
And then you got the poop bag situation out on the rail trail, because people are scooping, and they're putting it in bags, but they're not carrying it out with them, and they're dumping it by maybe where a trash can used to be. There's still some out there, so we can't figure out why people are suddenly thinking it's okay to leave litter in places that they shouldn't.
Hmm.
So... that's a work in progress on the rail trail, but you hate to see people, the reports now, one of the local businesses I saw on Facebook said that people were dumping their household garbage in their dumpster, and it's just beyond me as to why people think that's okay, and I'd rather not get into a situation of deer cams and arresting people for that. I mean, it's 2020, we all live together. But people ought to be adult enough to continue to take the trash out the same way. Now, if they don't have the money for it, because, there's bound to be some unemployment with people being laid off or furloughed or businesses shut, but that's when they ought to call the city, and I'm sure we would do something.
But make some arrangement for that.
Well, we'll try to help people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but in reality, I'm not sure that's the case. It's just people maybe being ornery that don't have to be and deciding it's okay to chuck their garbage in downtown receptacles or dumpsters downtown. But we'll get through it. It's just a matter of people following some rules,
right,
and not taking advantage.
And common sense.
Well, it would be nice, and I can't imagine they don't have common sense about other things, so why can't they have common sense about that? So, I'll tell you, I walk Henry, my dog, every morning up at the common, and they always had a blue trash can right there by the entrance, and that's where I always put my poop bag. Excuse me, Henry's poop bag. Thank you. I just make sure you're listening. But I was exiting with it and noticed the trash can wasn't there. And you could still see the square in the dirt where it was. And I was like, well, that's weird. What happened? And then I found out that we had decided to do that because people were just stuffing So it's a bit of an inconvenience for people that follow the rules. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you weren't the last to know.
I don't think you need a council decision when you have city workers who do it, and you know that is within the the city manager's ability to go, hey, we don't want that to happen. We don't want our city workers suddenly picking up people's trash. So as a deterrent, they just decided to remove the cans or boxes for a while. But that may lead down the line, Peter, to trash cans that maybe they have only, and I'm sure you've seen them, only a hole big enough to put a bag or a coffee cup or a small piece of trash in instead of the big open square blue boxes. So, you know, sometimes human nature gets the best of us, but that was not a situation the city could support. But back to your question about recycles, like I've had the same recycled canisters, for lack of a better phrase, none of them match. One of them's from Bangor, so that's 20 years old, that I've had for my glass and metal is one, plastics another, soda bottles or Gatorade things for the recyclable bottle, what you call it, where you get a nickel back.
Oh, are they still doing that?
They're not doing that at the transfer station now. Anything that would involve hand sorting, they're not doing. The thing about cardboard is cardboard generally is bigger and is shovable and pushable. In other words, I'm sure you've seen when you throw all your through the slots at the transfer station, and you can see on the ground they've got a metal holder for it, but then they've got big amounts laying around that they bundle up and they squish. They can still elbow it and shove it through. And businesses operate with a lot of cardboard, so they're still accepting cardboard because they really don't have to use their hands that much.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're wearing gloves and everything.
Yep.
But they made a decision that cardboard and regular trash. And if you can't store your recycles, it's regular trash.
Right. Yeah. Now I have another question. It's now time for the census. So how does having correct numbers fit in with what we could get here in Belfast?
Or the push for
having people fill them out.
Well,
some of us are getting those notes saying, you haven't finished. What's going on?
Yeah, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, was National Census Day.
The first, yeah.
The first.
Oh, I think it was the first, April 1st.
But,
which is strange. It's that April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Really, well.
But I think what it means is, to me, is because I thought about that the other day. I'm like, all right, so because I'm still working, but I have 3 days off, and I thought, well, a lot of people are going to have time on their hands. We might get a more accurate census this time around, but I think that's a good point that we should bring up at Tuesday night's council meeting, is that, hey, make sure we're accurately counted. We've got the time to do it. There's no excuse. You can do it online, even if you got the paper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in terms of congressional representation and districts and all that, that's how all that stuff is divvied up, is from the census. So, and of course, it would be nice once in a while to know exactly how many people live in Belfast.
Mm.
So I think that that is something one should do during the month of April if you haven't already done it. And I will bring that up during Communications Tuesday night on the Zoom thing.
Very good.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks for calling, Petra.
Okay, take care.
Hey, you take care. Keep playing that fiddle.
Oh, thank you. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Now, is now a good time to point out, Vic, that the phone we just took the call from, that appears to be this phone right here.
Yeah.
That appears to be not the most modern phone known to man, but that it worked quite well. That's got to be early 2000s.
Well, it's a donated item,
yeah.
Like much of the rest
and
of our equipment. Much of the rest of our equipment here.
Yeah. Works really slick.
Yeah, actually, we have a little box here that takes the telephone signal and routes it around into our panel board here and gets it on the air. But
so yeah. Let me talk about the. This show is recorded and then it's rebroadcast on Saturdays and it's also put out on social media.
That's right.
And whatever you want to call websites and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it on Facebook and stuff. If people have a question that they want an answer to between Fridays, reach out to Vic or me or the radio station, and we will be able to tell you any information that we know about it at the next radio show.
Sure.
But I think that the whole point of, you know, people ask me, why did you run for mayor, you know, back in September and October? And I'm like, I don't know. And
here we are
kind of explains why I ran.
Here we are with our next call.
Wow. Doubled the number from last week. WBFY, good afternoon.
Creative Coalition, Vic. Treadwell suggested that I call in at this time, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, Lorraine, it's Eric. How are you?
Oh, Eric, I'm so glad. I'm so grateful that you're doing all that you're doing. I want to thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I just, you know, just hanging out with Vic, but I know that Vic's here, too, and we have the Belfast Creative Coalition is, along with the Belfast Chamber of Commerce and Our Town Belfast, what Mary Mortier has often referred to as three legs of the stool. And
yeah.
So I think Vic thought it would be a good idea to give you a holler and see if you'd call in, because I think from the theater arts and from the arts in general, he was looking for, I don't want to speak for him, but he's right here, but we're looking for any feedback on what's going on, how's it impacted, what do you think, and any knowledge that you could impart to the public about the Belfast Creative Coalition in the scheme of all this.
Yeah, I think I welcome the opportunity, and just, you know, want to say that I thank everyone for the work they're doing. It's quite amazing. And we've been and are in the process of doing a few things. I mean, our job is to find and represent artists of all kinds, of every genre, you know, musicians, dancers, visual artists, every kind, and then along with the organizations. What we've been really interested and concerned about is the effect that this is having very specifically on the gig economy, the artists that make, you know, a very crucial $5,000 extra or $9,000 extra a year, and what are they doing? And their gigs are canceled, and we actually are assessing. We're sending out an assessment where we're saying a gig, artists giving, inspiring, and growing. And we're really looking to develop a relationship with those artists where, and in many cases we have already relationships, where we find out what the impact is, and we also support what they're doing now, and then we're looking to get all of that up online, but also to be prepared to come to the city, the state, and we're constantly looking for other sources of support for them, financial support. To say, look, you're a vital, vital part of our economy. You're a vital part of why people come and want to come here. So we need to know what you're doing and how we can best support you in your art, and then what are the financial resources that you're going to need to get over this hump, to get through this. So I would like to say that info@BelfastCreativeCoalition.org is our email, and we're getting dozens of emails about this and sending out this. I don't want to call it a survey, because we just did a 3-year survey, and we really understand, you know, where we're, what we need in this area, and the great gifts we have here in terms of the arts. But more, it's a deeper relationship with artists to say, we know you're very affected. We know you bring a massive amount to our area, so tell us more about it. Tell us some stories. Tell us what you're doing. how can we get you up online, and what are you losing economically as a result of this? So that's what we're doing, one of the things we're doing. I've also learned how to have many Zoom meetings.
Right.
I finally learned it. But I want to say again, it's Belfast Creative Coalition. It's info@BelfastCreativeCoalition.org. And I also want to give my telephone, if I may, because people who don't have it, many people are calling me and asking me, you know, can you get this assessment out to me? Or, you know, can I get my work? Can you help me with my work? Can you help us support? So, we're connecting up. You know.
Go ahead with that.
So my telephone number is 323-2747, and that is my personal cell, but that's what I'm dealing with here. I'm back in the woods and hearing from dozens of people and would like to hear from dozens more.
Great, thank you. And do you have knowledge of local arts groups that are doing online type of things?
Yeah, I want to say there's some fantastic... I mean, the Midcoast Actors are doing a wonderful thing that I hope to incorporate in all this, but that they're doing it themselves, which is so great. They're sending out a sort of challenge for original monologues, and they're posting those monologues, which I just think is really great.
That's
you know?
Cool.
And yeah, it's so creative. And then one of the things we've been doing is finding out, you know, what's free, what's streaming, so that people can, and, you know, Waterfall Arts, where I think you're probably, you mm-hmm. may be there, you may not, but they're keeping up so many of their classes, and of course we're promoting that, they're doing that, and Bridget there is doing great work with kids,
yep.
So people should go to that website, too. They can come to our Facebook page. We're trying to find every resource, and I'm talking about resources, you know, around the world that are opening their doors, and local artists and famous artists are saying, you know, we're reading a story every day. We're having a show every day, and that's all on our Facebook page, which I must say has doubled and now tripled in likes and follows. So that you know, means we know people are, the information is getting to people, and that's what we care about, really.
Well, and we're about to relaunch here at our radio station the weekly calendar of events, only it's going to be substitute events and online events and so forth, where it used to be
great
concerts and things that we used to go to. We're going to produce one of those over the weekend and start it running next week. And I have one item already for that, which is, I mentioned it earlier in the show, that the Belfast Bay Fiddlers are going to attempt to do their weekly jam session over the internet, and you can find out more about that at the BelfastBayFiddlers.org website.
Great, and we'll put that up on our Facebook, too, mm-hmm. and send it out to everyone. So, it's just amazing what people are doing, especially what artists and performers and musicians and dancers are doing. So that's our job, is to get that out and then to find out what they need to keep going and to grow.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Lorraine. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear both of you, too. I mean, I'm glad I can see you in my mind.
Yes, here we are, down in the basement of Waterfall Arts.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your work.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So I just got an email from the superintendent of the schools,
yeah.
Mary Alice McLean, because no school, and something we haven't talked about too much, but, you know, you have hordes of kids right now with time on their hands. They're doing the online stuff, right, the classes. But in reality, they're playing Fortnite, at least some of my kids, playing Fortnite and late at night doing their homework. But the superintendent has some difficult decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, will school go back on May 4th? We don't know, because we don't know. Right now, the virus is in charge, right? So it becomes a control what you can control type of world. What we're doing here, realistically, is letting people know that we're still out and about and able to communicate and talk. And, you know, the phrase that's probably way overused, but hasn't lost its meaning. You are not alone. You know, you are not alone. And I think it's critical. Mary Alice just said she would do one of those Bell TV interviews with somewhere in Waldo County. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to get her 6 feet away. Maybe she'll call in here.
Yep.
Because from a city's point of view, financially, for a second, the city's property tax pays for the school system. So those kids and staff, teachers, bus drivers, all those guys and gals, they are from September or August through June a huge part of kids and their families' lives in Belfast. And right now they're idle. Now they're out there every morning delivering food to people in need on bus routes and stuff. They've started that up.
Yep.
But we talked about mental isolation a little bit and all that. I know the schools offer to the kids, I call them kids, whatever you mean, K through 12, but they offer, you know, people to talk to and help like that. But, you know, how are the parents doing? How are the kids doing? How are the schools approaching this? What does next year look like? I think there'd be some value in having Mary Alice call in next week. The 6 feet away thing, you know, probably have her call in. But
sure.
As a community voice, I think the superintendent of schools is somebody that people would like to hear from. And, well, you know, I can't tell you what she's going to say, but I can tell you that people would like to hear that. And I think this show, what I'll do through you is I'll try to get people that we think, people like we talked about the hospital, she just said they're going to try to have somebody call in next week and talk. And I just responded, thank you. Everybody feels enormous pride about our hospital and the people in there. And you never really realize it until a situation like this, how much we care about the people down at the hospital. But right now, we want to hear from them just to hear that things are okay, right? And those little ways of communication through the radio and radio shows, I think will be largely how we operate this. You know, it's not going to be about me and what me or the city council's always doing, because the superintendent of schools is just important to hear from, if not more, and somebody from the hospital telling us what's going on, what they can tell us, right?
Sure.
And how they're doing, and what do they need anything? You know, because people are sitting out there now, time on their hands. They've checked out their attics. They've checked out their basements. They've made their annual list of things to do. They still don't want to do them. But they're looking for things to do and make sure that the rest of the community is okay. That includes the YMCA. You know, they sent out a thing. I saw it on Facebook. They're closed, but people that pay their normal family memberships or they pay online, they're asking to continue that so they can pay their staff. Well, that's not inconceivable.
Yep.
You know, but that's communication. So I think communication via any outlet is critical.
Great. And we will be continuing this every week for the duration. I'd like to hear from other people around the city, what's on their mind, what they know. Occurred to me, might be fun to hear from the harbor master too.
Yeah.
Find out what's going on the waterfront.
And what's going to go on.
Yep.
Like, the state treasurer, I can't remember name off the top of my head, sent out an email yesterday, and he was in the Portland Press Herald last week saying cities and municipalities need to immediately prepare for reduced revenue from the state, because, you know, they're not going to get the jack that they normally get from excise taxes, from people coming in. They're deferring things. State and federal taxes got moved to July 15th. Things are suddenly going to get you know, how much does that affect how much money the cities get revenue sharing? You know, so reduced revenue sharing, what does that mean? Well, the city's about to find out, along with every other city and town in the state, and then we have to deal with that.
Yep.
For our citizens.
Yeah, I heard on the radio, the public radio, about the fact that the traffic is way down on the interstates, but it's now mostly the trucks. bringing in, but that their revenues are still pretty good because most of that comes from the trucks, which pay more in tolls than cars.
Yeah.
So that at least the interstate system the highway system is still functioning and going to continue with maintenance and all of that.
Yeah, and you know, somebody was asking, why are there construction workers up there across from where I work at Bank of America? They are digging in deep for Tractor Supply, right? Because they were going to break ground in the spring, and that's what they're doing. And they're like, why are they out there with the mandatory stay healthy at home? Well, construction workers are considered essential workers. Mm-hmm. And so that is considered what they're doing, essential. So that's why they're out there. I'm sure they're being, I've heard of, you know, Job Lot. If you guys don't mind me just talking about what I hear, Job Lot gave every employee a $2 an hour raise. Now, I've gone over to Job Lot. I'm wearing a sweatshirt that I bought there for $6. But the lady, the girl, right? So I get in line. First of all, I go up and she's like, excuse me, could you go back to the tape? So I go back. There's a piece of tape there. So then she cleans down everything. She spritzes everything. The machine, you put your card in, she spritzes and wipes everything down. It took her a full minute between customers.
Yep.
And then she looks and says, you may proceed. And I go up and... you know, they're at the front lines of a virus we can't see. So Job Lot said, okay, two things. $2 an hour raise immediately for all of their workers. And there's something they're putting into the bill at the end, some tax. That tax that they're putting in is all going to be saved and then given out as a bonus to its employees. And I'm like, that's pretty damn good.
Yep.
That's good. You know, I know where I work at Bank of America, they are, you know, they're buying lunch and breakfast all week long and weekend, and they're getting it from BV. Well, it's good for BV, but it's great for the people at Bank of America because they are considered essential too. So, and then the final thing, because I got a lot of millennials on my team. Oh, let's take this call.
All right.
Hey.
Stand by.
Three calls.
Switch 1. Switch 2.
Boom.
WBFY, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm listening to Mayor Eric's interview online. I'm calling all the way from Dallas County, Texas.
I'm sorry, you're calling from where?
Dallas County, Texas.
No way!
Well, thank you. That's the mayor you're talking to.
I went to... Oh, hi, Eric.
Hey.
I'm Mayor Eric. This is Vanda Edwards Jones.
No way! I just Facebook friended you yesterday, or you requested.
Yes, I did.
How the hell are you?
Very well, fat and sassy.
Did you hear about David Zipperer?
We are very concerned about him right now, but I also must say I'm very impressed with the job Belfast is doing during this pandemic. I'm very impressed. You know, people are finally catching up down here.
Yeah.
I think it just took a while for it to sink in. I'm standing, yelling and screaming, wash up, don't go out. No, you can't. I'm sorry, you can't go get a mani-pedi.
Yeah.
You know, and
people are...
And I said, you know, in May, if everything has died down, you are free to yell and curse and laugh at me and everything else. I said, I hope that happens, but buckle in.
Yeah, up here, Van, we have a pretty astute state. It's a pretty smart state of people.
Well, you got
people.
Keys and keys, what can I say?
Yeah, right? But just to talk...
Neighbors, right?
Yeah, right.
Just
to talk about Zip for a second, because the person, Vanda and I know each other from the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City. And one of our dear friends, who was a production stage manager there for probably 40 to 45 years. His name is David Zipperer. And he's in his early 70s, and he just retired a few years back. And he was one of my closest friends on the planet. And many people love him to pieces. He was he was your welcoming rod to New York City when you entered the Academy, because he
He was the production stage manager. He was holed up last week. I was talking to Benny a little bit last weekend. He was holed up in Lenox Hospital, and he lived on Grove Street, lives on Grove Street in West Village. And he got the coronavirus, and the doctor a couple times told him to take Tylenol or whatever, and then he had to call an ambulance, and they took him to Lenox Hill Hospital, and he was on a ventilator, and he is, you know, in his 70s, and he was fighting it, and then I guess he got a little bit better, but in the process also had a heart attack.
And is that what it is? Because we're getting, he had a stroke or he had a heart attack.
I got a call in, I heard a heart attack. Heart attack. But we will find out together.
It's not good.
But what it does do, if you look at this radio show, I'm sitting up here in Belfast, Maine, and Vanda's down in Texas, it's the guy in the middle that actually had the coronavirus that we both know and love, and there are millions of people now across the nation, to Vanda's point, that are coming personally to the realization of knowing somebody who's had it, or if you lived in New York, understand what a disaster zone that has become. And it puts a face to a virus. And that is oh so important to find solutions on the other end. So, you know, when we watch, is it Cuomo, right? The governor, you know, and everybody's talking about Cuomo. Well, sometimes crises brings people more directly in contact with people they hadn't thought about. And although I think about David Zipper a lot, the news devastated me immediately because of how much I love him.
I have that feeling in my stomach, and it just won't go away.
So, well, God love you. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, it is. And you keep it up. I'm going to be spying on you.
Great.
Through the internet, seeing what goes on in Belfast, Maine.
Well, that's fine. That's
Sounds
fine.
Like a great place. And this July and August, when I'm pouring with sweat, I'm really going to be wishing I was in Maine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the climate here is the climate here is probably a little better than Texas. So,
you know, I'm all for a three-week-long summer. Hip, hip, hooray.
Hey, it was lovely hearing your voice, all right?
Thank you, Eric. And you answer that friend request.
I will. I will. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's what a show this was.
Right.
All right. Well, Piper, my littlest one, just called, so I got to...
Yep, it's time to wrap it up. Carrie B. is here for her blues show coming up in the next couple hours.
Righteous.
And I'd like to put in one more thing, and that is that one of the ways you can be involved, one of the things you can do from home is become a member of the WBFY broadcast team. We have software that allows you to run the radio station from home. Almost all of our DJs are now doing their shows from home. You can get in touch. Several different Facebook pages and websites, or you can write to me directly at the manager's account, WBFYradio@gmail.com, and we'll get you set up. And you can help keep up the cheer of your friends and neighbors on the radio.
And that's a good way to put it, Vic. We all need to keep up everybody else's cheer, including our own, the next month. And let's hope the weather gets a little more sunshiny, huh?
Right. Okay. To sign off, I've got some advice from the year of 1932. This is Belfast Community Radio signing off a special program with Mayor Eric Sanders.
So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
This is your Belfast Community Radio Station, WBFY-FM at 100.9, broadcasting from Waterfall Arts. As the station takes off and grows, it will need support from local volunteers to make the station serve our diverse community. If you have an interest in being on air, networking within the community, fundraising, or supporting the station in other ways, please contact us. You can email info@belfastcommunityradio.org.